Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome inside. Happy Friday. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
What's going on, man?
How was your concert last night? How were the Stones? Were the Stones good last night when you were out missing the big check swing by Wilmer Flores because you had to go to a concert?
Okay, if that's how we're going to be. That's fine. I'll wear it. It was a great show. I had some unfinished business after nearly dying at a Stone show 5 years ago. But hey, you know, however you want to frame it, because it was an ex-Met who got embarrassed embarrassed Major League Baseball with some of that umpiring. That's fine. And your Syracuse Orange are losing, so you're going to project on me. I get it.
Oh. Hey, before we get, because we do have to talk about Clemson. When the Dodgers won, was there a big moment? Was everybody going crazy at the concert where they were just, come on, man, I got to hear Sympathy for the Devil. Stop with this baseball stuff.
Nah, there was a guy in front of me who was on a very large, I have no idea what kind of phone it was. Might as well have been a tablet. It was that large, but he had the game on, so I was kind of peeking over his shoulder, so I got to see it all live in living color. But trying to do live analysis at that point and calling in really wouldn't have worked while they were going, hoo, hoo. Yeah, it would just not, you know, guess my name would not have done it. So
Mick did not stop and acknowledge that the Dodgers beat the Giants and
did a lot of acknowledgement of football early, acknowledged the asinine Paul McCartney line about just being a blues cover band, talked about Leo DiCaprio and some others that were celebrities. I think he said my name, but it was kind of, you know, muddled in all the applause. So, you know, we move on. It was good.
Speaking of English news today, the news that Michael Caine is retiring from acting. I mean, I really got to get my Michael Caine impression in tonight because I don't know that there's going to be much. Because when you retire, Master Bruce, I can't do another bad movie. I've had nothing on Rotten Tomatoes. Over 75% since
you leave
1996.
Him alone. I have. Get people to go back and watch Alfie.
I should have quit acting after Blame It on Rio, but I did Master Bruce. I just want to get out all right. I want to know.
Oh, no, he was fantastic. I mean, it's a long career, man. There's so many great moments. See, I thought you were going to talk about the fact that the Queen has been ordered to quit drinking by royal doctors.
You were only supposed to blow. No. So it has been a big night for English royalty over the
Well, and then
the
I saw the
nights.
World's greatest rock and roll band straight from London. So I mean, it was all good.
The world's greatest blues cover band straight from London.
Well, that's what McCartney said. And I think Mick always had him with the best comebacks. Like, well, we stayed together. Yeah. La, 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 la. No, it was a fantastic show. It was very cathartic. A pre-birthday celebration for me, as today is another trip around the sun. So here we go. Yay.
Really? Yeah. We're not even 3 minutes into the show and you had to say today's. Don't you think we had stuff planned for your birthday?
No.
Don't you think? No,
because we've forgotten in years past.
Ready?
So
one, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Blew it, Harmon.
Happy birthday to a guy who couldn't wait more than 2 minutes for us to sing happy birthday to him.
Harmon.
We've had forgetfulness
can't
in the
even
past.
Let us sing without interrupting. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, you old man.
No, I appreciate that. And to all our listeners out there, our extended family, I raised my beautiful can of agave vanilla cream soda in your general direction.
You couldn't wait. You couldn't. 2 minutes.
Well,
because you
came out attacking me for taking a day off, which I really never do. Like, it was out of character. You didn't ask if I was okay. You didn't ask if anything was wrong. You probably mocked me for 4 hours.
You were techno.
I have no doubt you mocked me the entire night.
We had bigger fish to fry last night with everything going on in the Dodgers and the Giants. It was fine. You were fine.
Not for the first eight innings, you didn't. There was a whole lot of nothing and wind blowing.
We still had drama. We had a lot of wind. We had a lot of things.
Yeah, a lot of drama when it's no scoring and just kind of hanging out. Like
right.
The big drama of, oh, my God, they're doing one of these crazy devil ray things.
Yeah, and I was coming in tonight. I was going to buy pizza and everything else was set.
You're a liar.
T-shirt was on stealth for the entire week to find out if you were going to come into the studio tonight. I had it all set up to come in. We were going to do food and everything else. And then T-shirt texts me at like 5 o'clock. Hey, Harmon's not coming in tonight. Something with pipes in his house. So, nothing's going on tonight. I said, oh, all right, great. So you blew it. You're the one that blew it. You could have had everything. You could have had it all.
See, I think Tyshirt's just working to make you look better. No, I'll be back in on Monday.
Monday's not your birthday. It's over. We got to wait until next year.
Everybody else takes a birthday week or a month. I can't have 3 days.
It's over. So you had to
tell you what. You know how I'll celebrate it? I'll go to a soccer game for my kid tomorrow, and then I'll go see the Stones again on Sunday. How's that? You think I'm kidding? No, I am going.
I think you're absolutely going to do that. I'm going to go. But happy birthday.
Thank you.
I'm glad you had a good night with the Stones last night.
Survived another year, and here we are.
And here we are tonight on a Friday night, which we'll get to what's going on in Major League Baseball in a couple minutes. But right now, I got to tell you, man, Clemson and Syracuse, 14-7, 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. This should be a 10-point Syracuse lead. Clemson cannot do anything with the football. I mean, and you need to see, oh, maybe Clemson's going to be okay. No, Clemson is terrible. And whatever you think about the prospect that DJ Uiagalelei is, clearly whatever is going on with the Clemson offense is not working. Clemson here is struggling against a middle-of-the-pack ACC team. And really, Syracuse should have a better record than they do. They should be better than 3-3 because the head coach, Dino Babers, makes incredibly ridiculous decisions that really crush the team, and he made it make another one tonight. But this Clemson team, I mean, look, Syracuse is decent, but they are struggling. They get a field goal to make it 17-7, and the only thing that's holding them up right now is the fact that Syracuse continues to play a quarterback that can't throw the football. They have 20 yards of offense in the second half. They got the backup quarterback who used to be the starter who can sling it down the field, and they have not made a move. And really, I watched Garrett Schrader play for Syracuse, and I'm saying, how is he still in there? He can't throw the football. The defensive backs are standing in the hip pockets of the wide receivers because he throws grapefruits, and still they're not making a move. And Dabo Sweeney's got to be going, well, if they're going to hand us this game like this, great. They've had zero offense, zero, and they won't make a change. Clemson is lucky to escape the era of Clemson being the dominant team in college football. If you thought it was coming back at some point and Uiagalelei is real, hey, he might be good at some point, but now this is not a good football. This is an average football team, and they are clearly a team that is struggling now when you lose two guys who go right to the NFL and are first-round picks and become star players. Yeah, when you don't have that guy playing quarterback, suddenly you don't look nearly as good as you used to, and that's what's going on with Clemson right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're going to be the number one squad forever. I mean, look at even Nick Saban's trying to rally the troops going, hey, we're not that bad, you know, and all those things to impress whoever's, you know, all the computers and the modeling and try to make noise in his locker room to get guys up for the next game, right? Not all is lost after one loss. For Clemson, yeah, it's not a huge team. It's not a dominant team by any stretch, and the offense is painful to watch. Almost 300 yards of offense tonight thus far as they extend to a 17-7 lead here with about 9 minutes left. But yeah, look, sometimes it's winning ugly, and you grind through and hope that the next recruiting class is ready to go, figure out whatever went wrong in the translation. Did you not get this quarterback up and ready in the same path? Because, right, not every guy's going to learn the same way, right? You got to learn on the fly and as a coach, too, and change some habits. And I don't know that Dabo Swinney's a guy that does that necessarily. He's, at least from his public comments. I'm obviously not in the locker room. I don't know the players and how they're handled year to year. But, you know, just from his public comments on a lot of things, it seems like he's a, this is our course and you go along with it. And so adaptability has got to be part of the equation as well. And you had a guy who, we'll watch him in London on Monday and all, but or Sunday morning, I should say. Not, you know, he's not a Jet, but so they get the 6:30 window this time around. But it's just the question of what's the next step in your recruiting and how do you rally up? So still a lot of football to be played. I mean, they still have, what, 6 games on the schedule? A lot of time for chaos. Certainly, you know, Wake Forest sitting atop the Atlantic right now. But, you know, as we've watched the last couple of college football weekends, kick your feet up. Craziness is going to happen.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So right now, they're booing in the Carrier Dome because Syracuse
can't score. Of course they are.
Dino Babers refuses to go to a quarterback that can actually throw the football downfield. And Dabo Swinney's going, shh, don't wake anybody up. We just want to win this game and get out of here and be 4-2. We stink, but boy, we want to get out of here and be 4-2.
You know what? They might have to change after that hit. I don't know. Okay, there he is. He popped back up.
I'll tell you.
He looks a little uncomfortable there. But
It really is embarrassing because Clemson should be getting thumped in this game, and they're just not.
Well, that just means that they can ugly it up better than you can.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, they can.
That's really all it comes down to.
Yeah,
again, they don't all have to be masterpieces, buddy.
No,
you know, Michael Caine, you went through the Rotten Tomatoes. Not every one of the – I mean, he won an Oscar. He was nominated a number of times. He was great, whether it was kitschy or you absolutely loved the performance. But some of those were, you know, you take the cash, right? Like he did for Jaws 4, right?
Jaws 4 bought a house. I did. And I couldn't go to the Oscars to get my Oscar because I was filming Jaws 4, The Revenge, not the 3D one, the other one that people didn't go see.
See, and right as you mock this guy, on cue, he goes deep down the right sideline.
And touchdown Syracuse.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Damn. Wow. Wow. There's got to be a penalty, though. There's got to be a penalty on Syracuse. There's got to
be
a penalty.
Well, maybe a celebration penalty or something.
There's got to be a penalty. There's got to be. Got to be. It's got to be a penalty. No, it actually worked. Syracuse scores a touchdown. Syracuse scores a touchdown.
Yay.
Wow, nothing. No, putting the ball over the pylon and dropping it. No, they're not going to call it a touchback. No,
do
I
you
think
want
it's
to restart? Restart this whole bit with the music and everything. I mean,
and I only had to talk like Michael Caine to get Syracuse to score. This is the karma and people outside wanting to make sure that we talk about sports and not my career and Hannah or any of her sisters. Master Bruce. I've buried 14 Batmans. I can't bear Batman with their little pointy
stop.
Ears. I've buried a lot of Batman.
How about all the Robins? There's a lot of those too.
I read the Burt Ward book. It was not flattering for Adam West. Meanwhile, while Syracuse has scored a touchdown, and now it's under review to make sure it was a touchdown, not going to be surprised that they
did he fumble it? Into the pylon?
Of course, that's what they're going to find. Of course, that's what they're going
to
find.
Because he dove towards the end zone to flesh this out. He made the dive towards the pylon, and now I think they were reviewing whether the ball was coming out because of the way he was holding it.
Of course, that's what they're going to find. A 62-yard touchdown is going to get called back.
No. He's lining up for the PAT. It looks like it's been confirmed.
All right, you're ahead of me. You're
so exhale.
Bruce. You're
exhale,
Master
buddy.
Bruce. You are ahead of me, Master Bruce. You're ahead of me. Meanwhile, Major League Baseball, the Red Sox are right now ruining the potential World Series that everybody wants, which is the Astros and the Dodgers, as they lead Houston right now 3-1 in the middle of the fifth inning. Houston playing at home and allegedly still stealing signs is losing by two runs to the Red Sox. It is a shocking day, and it's shocking even more so that Chris Sale had about as rough a start as you possibly could for the Red Sox. He throws 61 pitches, goes 2 2/3 innings, comes out of the game, and that's been it. And that's been it for the Astros so far as they come to bat here in the fifth. You didn't get the start you wanted. You didn't get, what you're getting if you're the Red Sox is Kike Hernandez is the greatest player in postseason history.
Yeah.
Right? He's the Randy Arozarena of this year. 3-for-3 tonight with a home run. He is doing everything this postseason for the Boston Red Sox, who now, really, they're going to ruin the World Series. It's going to wind up being Red Sox Braves now just because. We're going to get Red Sox Braves. It's going to be, oh, man, that's a disappointment.
Wow, you just did you predict the demise of the Dodgers yesterday? I missed it.
No, I picked the Dodgers in five, and the Dodgers won in five. I know things, Mike Harmon. I know things.
Well, you know, you told you so.
I know things.
But, yes, you look at Hernandez, as Steve gave you in the early update, also the defensive play, 10 of 23 coming into tonight in the playoffs, and then 3-for-3. I mean, just ridiculous. Right, a guy who, you know, as we talk about, heroes are born all the time. Cody Bellinger, right, as you talked about last night, I have no doubt for a good hour, and people still rubbing their eyes and just making sure that they saw, well, what they saw. Mm. And that a guy who all season long had been, well, terrible would be the kindest way to put it, comes up with the big play against Cardinals, comes up with a big play, big hit last night. And now you look at Hernandez, same idea of, you know, it doesn't always have to be the superstars. And I think that's the beautiful thing about the postseason, right? You've been using the Aaron Rodgers romanticism thing. That's what it's all about, man. And either way, we all lose. It's Red Sox Astros. Right? There's no winners here. The only
But you want to see the Astros and the Dodgers to see, you know. And if that happens, the Dodgers should lay out there, okay, let's make a bet. It's double or nothing. If we win this World Series, we get credit for the other one because you cheated. If you win this one, you get credit for both of them.
That's better than any mayor bet. I like that.
Forget that. That's a bet I want to make. Let's make
that.
Oh,
I dig that.
Hey, yeah. That's a good one, right?
No, that's good. See if we can put that past Manfred. That'd be great.
877-99 on Fox is the number. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Mike Harmon's birthday. Discover matches all the cash back earned on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report limitations. They do apply. Well, we got Jay Glazer coming up on the way. We got a big story out of the NFL. Are we done seeing crazy stories involving emails? The answer might surprise you. That's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Happy, happy birthday, you old man.
It's the Mike Harmon birthday show right here.
Yeah, how about that?
Right now, Clemson still leads Syracuse by 3, 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Syracuse getting the ball back. Meanwhile, Red Sox and the Astros still 3-1. Boston with the lead as we go to the bottom of the fifth inning. Well, big news in the NFL today. As the NFL said, no one else has been implicated in the Washington Football Team email investigation. This after John Gruden, no longer the head coach of the Raiders, Jeff Pasch, NFL lawyer, had some allegedly questionable back and forth with Bruce Allen, then running the Redskins football program. But now nothing else is coming out. So is this the end? Is it really the end? Joining us now on the hotline, no one better. NFL on Fox, insider extraordinaire. You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Glazer. What's happening, Jay? How are you, man?
What's going on, man? I know one guy who won't be implicated is yours truly over here.
Okay. You checked? You didn't email Bruce Allen over that 7-year span?
Well, Bruce, I did. I actually, both Bruce and Gruden and I have the same relationship. I threatened to beat both their asses at one point.
Go.
I'm dead serious.
No way.
Yeah. Gruden at the Senior Bowl. Told him I thought he was a fake tough guy. And then, man, I forget what he said, but I was sitting with Sean Payton, and he came over and he said something. He was just being rude And I did. I do think he's a very tough guy. And this is not me piling on, John. It's what I've always felt. And then he said something else. And then I got up and told him he's a fake tough guy, and kind of said it real loud. And then Sean wanted nothing to do with it. And so that's kind of been me and Gruden for a long time. And then Bruce Allen, I broke all the Balco news for the NFL. And Bruce wanted me. He publicly came out and said that he wanted me put on the stand for the in front of a federal grand jury for them to make me give up my sources, and then said, and you know, because the reporter, me being the reporter, I think he said I have a bad track record or I'm inaccurate or something like that. And, oh, man, it just set me off. So I literally, I called him, or I wrote something about it. It was at CBS at the time. I wrote something about it. He called me. He said, I understand you're upset. And I said, dude, if you were in front of me right now, I would. And obviously I cannot say it on our air.
Sure.
Oh, I threatened the hell out of Bruce Allen, yeah.
Wow.
And he said, you're this mad? I said, oh, dude, I would smash you. If you were here right now, I would smash you. And
wow.
Like, I said, you know, these, I said, it's so hard for me to, you know, defend myself. Like, for me, accuracy, as you guys know, is everything for me. I said, in one day, you try to destroy all my, you know, my validity in one day by something you guys did. And yeah, it set me over the deep end. And I will say this: I went so deep on him. He actually said, "Man, you're like serious about this." I said, "Totally serious." And this is how I put, you know, food on my kid's plate, man. You're not going to destroy my reputation when you guys are cheating. And I'm just reporting it. And he said, "Well, I really." If I fly to New York, could I have dinner? Like, can we try and smooth this over? And I'll give him credit. He actually got on a plane. He came to New York and smoothed it over so I wouldn't smash him. But, you know, has never been great. You know, this entire thing has come out because Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen are at war with each other, and they're fighting, and they're just getting everything out they possibly can on each other and each other's friends and each other's people. And now, look, again, like John Gruden, you know, there's no – never – I certainly wouldn't defend, and especially, again, since, you know, I'm not – as I'm saying, John, I don't have a great – there is no relationship there whatsoever. And I just think you saw also, man – and I. You know, just in the way his emails were, there was just a lot of hate. I don't want to be one of the ones piling on. And the other end of this is, I'm not part of cancel culture. I do think people should have the right to grow. Like something that happened a long time ago, if you can grow from them, I think you should be allowed to grow. Life is about making mistakes and falling down and learning from them and growing. So this, you know, it's. But again, you know, everybody in that locker room is really going to process, and they're kind of looking at him and going, man, that was said with a lot of vitriol. And, you know, that did affect a lot of people. And when you're a leader of men, things are different.
Jay Glazer with us here, Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. So, Jay, you know,
I bet you didn't expect to open up with that today, did you?
No.
Powerhouse stuff.
No.
Send him some fight videos along the way. Hey, nobody's stepping in.
Oh, man, Bruce, I was so infuriated because back then also, man, it was it's when, you know, it went from newspapers to internet.
Sure.
And you know, my relationship with a lot of the other fellow reporters weren't great because, you know, for the first time, you're like, look, they would file something, and I started this way too with the New York Post. You'd file something, and it would drive me crazy if I was in their shoes. So you file something at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and you know, you're expecting to break a big story in the Washington Post the next morning, and all of a sudden, this other reporter breaks it at 10 p.m., and it kind of steals your sizzle. So, man, it wasn't great. And so there was kind of a lot of, you know, fighting between me and some of the other reporters over that. And it was kind of weird. It was just me and them. Cause it was me versus Len Pasquarelli, God bless, amazing, and Chris Mortensen and John Clayton. But I think I kind of took the brunt of the, I guess the anger of what it was, you know, making some of the other reporters look like. And, you know, now, thank God, I'm glad that the four of us kind of did that whole internet thing to, you know, kick this off for everybody else to kind of get rich and take care of their families better. But back then, there was so much anger toward me by doing that. And it maybe it was my paranoia. And I'm not saying, you know, but certainly not saying I'm not paranoid, and you guys know my own issues, and paranoia comes with that. But when Bruce did that, I kind of looked at it like, oh, my God, he just took 5 years of me fighting to show everybody that, my word is everything. If you see what I report, it's golden. And I felt he threw it all out the window. And that's why I wanted to beat his ass, yeah.
No, sure. Hey, and just, you know, a little paranoia doesn't mean they're still not after you. But as you made your calls around the league this week, Jay, as we get ready for week six in earnest, what's the prevailing thought, if you can, you know, encapsulate some of your
conversation? No, there's no prevailing thought. You can't put it in one. Everybody has their own thoughts. Also, guys, you got to understand how fast this happened.
Sure.
Right? And there's, like, look, Mike Mayock standing up there talking about it, there's no class you could take to suddenly tell you, hey, this is what you say in a situation like this. When your boss and your face or something gets busted for not just racism, but
everything. Yes.
Transphobic, homophobic, everything. Like, you, I mean, there's no journalism. Let's say there was a great, like the greatest journalism school in the world. You don't take that course in one day and say, hey, here's how you go up there and handle it. So I give Matt credit because it's, you know, it's a lot to deal with. But everybody kind of is processing it on their own, and that means inside the locker room. I think Derek Carr actually said it great, right? Like he says, look, I love the guy, but, you know, I think, you know, hates the sin or something like that. And there's, like, I was talking to somebody today who said, man, Gruden and I said, you know, we were talking about him. And he said, my players are asking me, he said, you know, John? And this person said, I know, John. He said, so he's a racist, right? He says, no, he's not a racist. He said, he's a blankety-blank, but he's not a racist. But what he says is racist, but he's a blankety-blank. You know what I mean? So it's like they're all processing it on their own. The other guys go, yeah, he's a racist. Yes, he's homophobic. Yes, it's how you view it. You know what I mean? It's how it hurt you. It's how it affects you. That's like everybody has their own story and they have to process it on their own. Like I can't tell you how to feel about it. Nobody else can tell anybody how to feel about it. And how you feel about it is not wrong. It's your story and how it affected you. But it's, man, it's a shame.
Jay, was that the last time you talked to Gruden? That conversation that you had when
no,
when you
told- wasn't the last time. I had a production meeting with him after that, and actually, again, this is early on, so I was doing sidelines for CBS, I mean for Fox, and I was doing one of his games, and I just fought in an MMA fight, and I guess someone had, like, the pictures in there, and he's like, you do this? I'm like, yeah. And he was like, I said, remember that day I said I was going to beat your ass? Yeah. And I mean, again, this is, so we're talking, this is, man, I think I fought in 2004, so this is probably 2005. You know, shut along those lines. And then I've seen him here and there. He's just not, you know, I just look at, and I kind of actually hate that I'm saying this because I don't want to act like I'm piling on. It's just, if you guys asked me about John Gruden in the past, I would have told you this. It's not something that I've ever hidden, that I just thought he was a fake tough guy. And it's just guys like that who are kind of bullies just drive me crazy. It's just like you're always kind of having this, you get everybody trying to, like, you guys, like, I'm telling you guys, like, I fought. I never said I was a good fighter, so there's a difference here. I'm not acting like a fake tough guy. I was a crappy fighter, but at least I did it.
Well, and then you take to the guys that never did fight, and you can probably still beat that ass.
Right.
All right, so last night on Fox,
I talked to Gruden maybe three times. We never had a good relationship because I just, like, I would just always saw him as that, like, yeah, I saw him as this just crass dude who, you know, kind of like the emails. Hey, you read them? That's kind of how I viewed him.
Gotcha. All right, let's go to one of the pieces of news that you were talking about it last night on Fox, and you spoke it into existence. Zach Ertz gets traded to Arizona. Yep. My daughter saw the news, and she's a soccer player. She goes, oh, Julie's husband. I thought it was cute.
Right.
So he gets dealt to Arizona, and now Cliff Kingsbury has COVID. So a lot of things swirling in Arizona.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, too, because I was texting with Zach today, and he was telling me, too, I didn't know Julie was actually from out here, from Arizona. So, I mean, it's going to be terrific for him. What a move for Steve Keim. And look, I said it last night on TV, knowing that the Eagles were talking about. So had Dallas Goedert not gotten COVID, Ertz probably would have traded earlier in the week. But they needed him to stay. They needed him because Goddard had COVID, they needed Ertz on the roster. So I didn't know if they had told him or not yet. So that's why I said that, hey, don't be surprised if one of these guys gets traded here in the next week or tomorrow. And but even so, like, you also didn't know. It was contingent on if Ertz got hurt, obviously it wouldn't have happened. So I couldn't have gone fully with it. But, yeah, I mean, what a move by Steve Keim, the general manager of the Cardinals, making this, pulling this off. Max Williams goes down. They bring in a guy like Zach Ertz who fits that need perfectly. Ertz, who obviously wasn't happy with his deal out there in Philadelphia for a while. It's the perfect move. And, again, when I said it last night, I knew that it was more than in the works, but also I thought the Eagles were going to maybe try and use that deal and play it out elsewhere around the league if Ertz had a great game. So that's why, I didn't go full in of, hey, Zach Ertz has been traded right to the Cardinals, because there's still a good chance that, hey, guys, we have a deal with the Cardinals for this. You saw Ertz last night. Do you want to do this? Which is what happens in the NFL. Hey, would you give us more? Would you give us a four? Would you give us three? That's what happened. So I had a predict what happened in the next week, which prediction came true.
He's on Twitter.
But by the way, terms were worked out like Monday or Tuesday. Contingent on a bunch of things.
Wow. As always, an unbelievable visit with Jay Glazer. You never know what you're going to get. Check Jay out.
Twitter, street fighting
at
man.
Jay Glazer. That is at Jay Glazer. Did not. He came out throwing haymakers right away, Jay. You were like House of Fire, man. That was awesome.
Well, because everybody keeps – you know what? You have any idea how many calls I've gotten about, hey, are you going to be on these emails? Now, listen, yep. I'm filthy. You guys know I am. All right? I got nothing to hide here. I ain't the cleanest dude in the world. But I ain't on Bruce Allen and John Gruden stuff. So as those two guys, as Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen continue to chop each other down, I won't be part of that.
Oof. Jay, be good, buddy. Thanks so much, as always. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy the games.
Head on a swivel, Jay. Thanks, buddy.
Are you not entertained? Not Twitterable. No.
Hey, you're the best.
Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy.
That was outstanding.
How about that?
I almost fought John Gruden, called him a fake tough guy, Bruce Allen. I told him I wanted to beat his ass. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, that was incredible.
Really didn't see that coming.
Ooh,
like, it started as a, hey, what else is coming out? It's like, what happened?
You know who's not on there? Me. And you know why? Oh, okay. I'm just going to sit back. This is, oh, my goodness, what stories. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Again, if you missed any of it, we'll replay that, of course. We'll put it up on our best of on the website. Also put it up on Twitter for the Fox Sports Radio account. An unbelievable visit with Jay Glazer.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Right now, bottom of the seventh inning, Boston and the Astros tied at 3 apiece. Sorry, buddy, I was helping you out there, but I was saying White Sox.
Well, it was like you were taunting me.
Jose Altuve's two-run jack, a buzzer beater for the Astros. I'm going to make it happen. Has the game tied at 3 as the Astros bat here in the bottom of the seventh inning. But when we take a look at the big slate in college football tomorrow, suddenly everything is possible. Alabama has lost. We have a new team at number 1 in Georgia. Can they stay there? They have a tough game coming up tomorrow. pretty much everything you need to know about why the playoff expanded in college football works is on display now. Because just because Alabama lost last week, look at how many teams think, why not us, right? That Alabama and Georgia don't automatically have the top two spots in the playoff locked in, or two of the four spots locked in, because they're going to both go undefeated, play each other. The loser is still going to go. No, you have like the entire Big Ten and Cincinnati and Oregon and Oklahoma State and Wake Forest and Arizona State all think, hey, why not us? And this has given a huge juice to the college football season. Joining us now on the hotline to break it all down, he is the editor-in-chief, grand poobah, proprietor of collegefootballnews.com, your one-stop shopping for college football news. It is Pete Futak. Pete, what's happening, man?
And Michigan has a shot. And Syracuse, Michigan State has a shot. And, yeah, look, you're right. It gives us a whole lot more excitement to the college football season to have all these teams in. And, look, we know what happens, though. If it is Georgia and three teams, it's going to be the Georgia Invitational. But that's neither here nor there. It could be really fun if Alabama loses again and if Ohio State loses again. Then we're going to have a college football playoff with none of the college football playoff national champions in it. And even if it is Oklahoma, you know, Oregon, Georgia, and, you know, random team X, it's going to still feel a little fresh.
So do you think that looking forward, like this should be an eye-opener saying, hey, you know what, we expand the playoff a little bit because not every year is going to be like this. Look how much better it is for college football overall.
The problem with that is the fairness thing, because you're still talking about this college football playoff thing being based on a panel of judges, and it stinks if you're Cincinnati, where, look, you don't play anybody, so you don't really deserve to be in, but if you win your American Athletic Conference, you're going to want to be in the college football playoff, and an expanded thing would do that, and it still gives some interest to, say, the ACC for this year, where, you know, you'd want the ACC champion to be in it, assuming Wake Forest and Boston College both lose a couple times along the way. So you do want an expansion just because it would add more excitement to everybody. But as is, this year is kind of fun.
And as is, we have a little bit of chaos. What do I do if I want to bet, say, Oklahoma TCU, and I don't know if it's Caleb Williams or Spencer Rattler?
Start with this.
13.5.
Well, Oklahoma has yet to play a game yet this year against an FBS team where it has not won by more than a touchdown. So start with that. No matter who it's been, you know, every game has been kind of close. So it is kind of tough. It is going to be Caleb Williams at the end of the day. They're just not going to start Spencer Rattler in this. But at least they can't, at least after the way Caleb Williams played last week. But, again, they play every game close. They have not played a full 60 minutes against anybody but Western Carolina, and that doesn't really count. So I kind of think TCU being TCU keeps this kind of close, even with this iffy quarterback situation.
All right, Pete, you know, we mentioned Georgia, and here they are playing their first game, number one team in the country. Not perfect, but clearly they deserve to be the number one team. This is the marquee game tomorrow. Kentucky's undefeated coming in. Kentucky's offense isn't great. It's a ground and pound. Could we see a new number one team after this week?
We're still way overdue for the Stetson Bennett 12 interception game, where he's good. He's played fine so far. His defense can pick up the slack, and, you know, he's more mature of a passer now, and he doesn't have to force anything. But Georgia doesn't have any receivers. They're basically all hurt. And Stetson Bennett isn't JT Daniels. So once JT Daniels is back and healthy, yeah, this team is the real deal. But the real thing about this game is how close does Kentucky keep it? If it gets annihilated 45-0, it's going to be hard to make this argument. But if you look at the rest of the Kentucky schedule, this is the middle of the sandwich. It was supposed to be tough. September was supposed to be easy. November is supposed to be easy. It's the middle that's the hard part. And they already got by Florida. They got this game where they're probably going to get tagged. But if you look at the rest of the slate, if they can just be okay against Mississippi State and get by that, they could be 11-1. And at the end of the day, if you're saying it's an argument that didn't work for Texas A&M last year, but if you have an 11-1 Kentucky and their one loss is to the be-all, end-all number one team, how do you not say that, okay, maybe it comes in the college football playoff?
Pete Vucek, our guest here, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. Pete, of course, everything, collegefootballnews.com, at Pete Vucek, that's F-I-U-T-A-K, the surname, for all your college football breakdowns, write-ups, prognostication. And in a game in the Big Ten, I got to take it there, right back towards my stomping grounds, we've got the Iowa Hawkeyes and Purdue Boilermakers, two great defenses. Will this just be settled with thumb wrestling at the end of the day, or is it whoever can score more points on defense?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's the weird thing. We're all used to Purdue being the high-octane team, Jeff Brom's squad being able to throw it all over the place. But this offense is not great. Their defense is really good. And Iowa doesn't have any offense. This is the number two team in the country, and it's got the worst offense in total yards in the Big Ten. There's something just doesn't quite add up with this team. If it's not the defense that's taking a ball away five times a game, there's a problem. I do think this stays a little close. I do think Purdue is able to stay in this. And I just don't buy Iowa. It's not the second best team in America. Again, it doesn't have the offense, but that defense is playing at a whole other level. And this is going to be fun. Look, Iowa still has some tests left. They still have to go to Wisconsin. They have to deal with that defense. And then let's say they get through it all. They probably get Ohio State or Michigan State or Michigan. That's going to be tough. So there's still some tests for this team, but that defense has been the real deal so far.
All right, Pete. Now, I'm glad Mike brought us to the Big Ten, because the entire top 10 in college football are all Big Ten teams.
That's right.
Is the Big Ten really this good? Are they really this good?
No, not even close. Look, nobody likes this debate. Look, I've lived most of my life on a Big Ten or near a Big Ten campus. I went to a Big Ten school. I live a driver 3 minutes away from a Big Ten campus. The SEC's better. It just is. And I can't believe I have to argue this every single year. But there's a reason why they say that 40% of the NFL draft is made up of the SEC and Big Ten as well. But there's a reason why they're winning the recruiting battles every year. They just have more talent, more guys. It just means more, all that kind of stuff. Florida's still really good. Alabama's still really good. And it's kind of the anti-Cincinnati argument where, look at what you've got. I mean, Texas A&M was able to rise up and win. You know, Mississippi State's pretty good. Ole Miss is dangerous. Arkansas is dangerous. The SEC just overall is just that much better. Now, with that said, you know, Iowa's playing all right. It's playing well enough. Michigan State's playing great. We'll see what it does this week against Indiana. I think it rolls in that. Michigan, hey, I know all Michigan fans, all you are waiting for the piano to fall on your head, but this team actually is playing okay, and Ohio State's starting to rise up. So, at the very least, it's the second-best conference, but the SEC is just amazing from Georgia on through, just because there's so much talent in that league.
Well, back to individual games. Tonight we saw the Herculean efforts of the Clemson Tigers as they withstood a ferocious Syracuse Orange squad. Jason's not happy.
Garrett Tebow there throwing it at the end there, trying to get the position for that kick.
You know, and we missed the kick because the holder doesn't put the laces out. I mean, Andre Schmidt's one of the best kickers in the country, and we get Finkel and Einhorn is why Syracuse doesn't send that game.
Really
to
wasn't
overtime.
Making it about you.
Kick the ball straight already, son. You're on scholarship.
Clemson side of things is the only thing that matters.
Yeah, that's Clemson. You know, that's what we're going to get this year. This offense, the defense is amazing. They gave up the one big giant play. But that offense just, for whatever reason, is not working. They can't run the ball a lick. And you've got an NFL-caliber quarterback in DJ Uiagalelei, and he's just not able to make anything happen. The offensive line hasn't been good enough. But also give some credit, because Syracuse is actually good. This isn't like a couple years ago when they did pull off the Friday night win, when they just kind of pulled it out of their hat to get that thing. Syracuse team's actually all right. The defense is playing great. Sean Tucker is fantastic. And if Garrett Trader doesn't have to throw, everything's okay with this offense. And they were right there, you know, but this is going to be Clemson football. And at the end of the day, they're probably still going to win another ACC championship, because they're going to win every game 3-2. So this is just what we got for the Tigers this year.
He's on Twitter at Pete Futek. That is at Pete Futek. CollegeFootballNews.com, your one-stop shopping for everything college football, previews of every single game, and the writer is the guy we're talking to right now. All the previews, all the games, it is Pete Futek. Pete, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, have a good night, guys.